This is TWiT.
Today gathered to talk about many new things from Apple. Renee, you were at the event last Monday. I guess we talked about it, but you weren't here.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts now that we've got you back in studio?
So I have two sets of thoughts. One was live being there, and second was having to watch it afterwards. And they were two very different experiences. Being live in the room, there's like a ton of energy. Apple was really going into storytelling. It doesn't matter the medium. We want great journalism. We want great TV. We want great games. We want like all these things they were touching was about empowering creators to make sort of the projects that either can't exist because the business model doesn't work, or they have to mutilate the content to make it fit a paper, a subscription or a paper purchase or an in-app purchase business model. And they really wanted to, let J.J. Abrams and Steven Spielberg and all these people make the stories they want to make. And they want to let all the people who are making the magazines and making the newspapers tell like the journalism and the essays that they want to tell. And even the video game producers, and some of them are saying, there's just no way to make this game that I want to make and fit it into the current Clash of Clans, Fortnite business model. And they're giving me the opportunity to make it. And that all played really well. But then watching it back, it reminded me of the iPhone SDK event where there was just like demo after demo after, without the excitement of being there. Because when you're live and you see like Oprah or Jason Momoa or Jennifer Aniston, it's like, oh my God. And people were like turning around in their seats trying to get them in the selfie frame as they were sitting in the audience.
God.
But just watching it on TV, it's like, I was done after Steven Spielberg.
your perspective is interesting because we were so focused on the fact that this is Apple, kind of the new Apple, the services Apple versus the hardware business Apple. I didn't really think about it, but you're absolutely right. Every single product on that stage was all about making a venue for content creators to reach Apple users.
I was not expecting that. I'd heard about like rumors of arcade, but I didn't know how it would square, because people who make Clash of Clans or Pokemon Go, who are making a fortune on in-app transactions, are never going to give that away to join a subscription model. And if you just let people be part of the subscription model, they're just going to program for attention the way a casino does and do like all the instant and ego gratification stuff that you like results in like the Facebook news feed or YouTube recommended and all the problems that come with that. And it never occurred to me that Apple would actually help fund and help develop like an original set of games for iOS and for Mac, because they're going to make the Mac an equal citizen in this, which is exciting. Not Apple Watch yet, but like basically every other device. And that was sort of the deal with this, is they're not even just handpicking people. They're making partnerships and making, I don't want to call them first party games because they're not being driven by Apple, but they're definitely like second party cooperative sort of games. And that was really, really interesting to me. It's going to reduce the amount of content they have at launch, absolutely. It's not like Apple Music or Spotify where it's every game you've ever wanted all for one price. It's like 100 games at launch, but in 125 countries. And some of those games looked really, really good.
So in a way, again, a new perspective. Apple's doing the same thing with games that they're doing with TV. They're actually creating content for a service. Is that right? I mean, are they...
It's like one step removed. It's in between. It's not like, because they didn't hire a couple of game executives and say, go make us 100 games.
Right.
But they did hire a ton. Like there was a ton of people that I vaguely knew from the gaming industry, but I'd never seen at Apple before and are now working at Apple. Like whole teams have staffed up for this in whole new areas and categories that just... Their only job is to make sure that Apple Arcade doesn't just launch, but launches really, really well. And despite Apple making a lot of money, they still remember having no money. And they're often the stingiest, especially internally, of organizations. And watching them spend like on all the internal components you need to sort of shepherd a launch, to me, showed that they were like really interested in having this do well.
Yeah. I still wish they'd given us more details. That's my response to pretty much every topic from last week's
show.
But it's all in the nickels and all in the dimes. Like, how are they making sure that these developers are going to be happy with the deal? Do the developers get this IP back if they want to after a certain amount of time? Like if they've developed like a big audience for this original content, original characters, and suddenly they want to make an Android version of this game after a certain amount of exclusivity, are they free to do so? So we're going to hear a lot more before we really all decide what's going to be the up or the down about this. But I agree that it's really nice that it's... Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I did ask like a bunch of questions. One of the things is they're not talking about like, so they did Apple TV is coming out. Apple Music's already on Android. Apple TV is coming out even like on Tizen, which is really odd. And I did ask about Android. And the thing is that they explained it's not like just movie or TV streaming where all you have to do is point a stream and make a target client. All these apps are being written specifically to perform really, really well on iOS devices. And they never said we're never making this for Android, but they're not using like emulators or a lot of the third party stuff. You know, maybe some of the individual developers are, but they're not targeting Unity. They're not targeting Unreal. They're really trying to make apps and the Mac side too, which is traditionally given very little love. And that would be non-trivial to port over to Android, at least initially. Oh, which is why I don't think they had any Android story.
Oh yeah, no, I'm sorry. I wasn't meaning specifically when are these things going to come to Android. I meant that if I write a game that gets accepted into Apple Arcade, is it always going to be exclusively Apple? Is that part of the agreement that I have to sign, or do they get an exclusive for let's say 1 year, after which I can now do whatever I want with it, which can be a really big deal if we think about a game not just as the game itself, but also the world and the characters and a lot of the intellectual property and the trademarks of it. So I'm keen to see what the terms of the deal are. I'm sure that they have to give Apple some window of exclusivity, but I don't know if it's. I would like to know if it's permanent or whether they're just going to say for the first year it's ours. After a year, we're going to be wanting to bring fresh meat in anyway. So yes, you can have this back and make it a regular App Store game or port it to someplace else or do whatever you want with it.